Hello and welcome again to Treaties and Trials. I hope you listeners are doing well. This is the fourth episode. My name is Ruby, and today we're going to be talking about the United Nations, aka the UN. Yep, the very big global organization that's the whole premise of the very popular Model UN Club. I've been really excited for this episode, so to not waste time, let's begin. You've probably heard of the United Nations at some point in your life. It's the global organization that claims to maintain international peace and security, protect human rights, deliver humanitarian aid, promote sustainable development, and uphold international law. Yeah, that's a lot. No, it's not a government, nor is it a state. It's an organization that brings together independent states to discuss modern problems and solutions. Some of the UN's biggest achievements include combating HIV and AIDS through programs like UNAIDS, their peacekeeping operations, which span several continents, and adopting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, just to name a few. A lot of their action stems from the desire to uphold sustainable development goals, which we'll talk about later in the episode. But first, I think it's necessary to know a little bit about the organization's background. Post-World War II, the global community was devastated and agreed that nobody wanted a repeat of the war. So in 1945, representatives of over 50 countries gathered at the United Nations Conference on International Organization in San Francisco, and over the span of 2 months, the United Nations was born. What a lot of people don't know is that this wasn't the first time an international organization was made in attempts of creating international cooperation and peace. In 1919, after the end of World War I, the Paris Peace Conference took place, which attempted to deal with the aftermath of the Great War and re-establish order. In 1920, the first intergovernmental organization was created, known as the League of Nations. It was largely based on 14 points made by Woodrow Wilson, the US president at the time, but the United States never joined the League. Ultimately, the organization was ineffective because countries were more focused on their nations and didn't really enforce consequences on aggression. Like Japan, Italy, and Germany would attack their enemies and then just leave the League. It had a rapidly declining influence, and that was evident with World War II. Luckily, the United Nations has still been standing for the past 80 years. Wow, that's a long time. So we note that the UN provides a means for independent nations to discuss global crises and make resolutions, but what really is their purpose? For such a large organization, they should have a clear, tangible goal. And they do. Several. Called the Sustainable Development Goals. The 17 goals which they aim to reach by 2030, to list them out, are no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being, quality education, gender equality, clean water and sanitation, affordable and clean energy, decent work and economic growth, industry, innovation and infrastructure, reduced inequalities, sustainable cities and communities, responsible consumption and production, climate action, life below water, life on land, peace, justice, and strong institutions, and partnerships for the goals. That is a lot. And it's really wholesome because I've seen local youth projects which actually reference the Sustainable Development Goals in their mission statement as well. So it is definitely a big agenda that has gained support all over the world from people of all ages, which is great to see. To be a little critical, I feel like some of these goals like zero hunger by 2030 are impossible, but the main thing is that there are efforts being taken by so many people which still have an impact on lots of impoverished communities. Switching gears, I'd like to introduce you to the organs of the UN. The term organs sounds weird, doesn't it? But they're basically what they imply, different subsections of the UN. There are six organs: the General Assembly, Security Council, Economic and Social Council, Trusteeship Council, International Court of Justice, and the UN Secretariat. They're all based in New York, except for the International Court of Justice, which is in the Netherlands. The General Assembly is the main organ of the UN, which consists of representatives from all member states. The GA, or General Assembly, makes decisions for the UN, like appointing the Secretary General and approving the UN budget. Next, the Security Council works to maintain international peace and security with 15 members, 5 permanent and 10 non-permanent. Yes, the 5 permanent members are China, France, Russia, the United Kingdom, and the United States, who have veto power. More on that in a future episode. The Economic and Social Council, like the name suggests, discusses economic, social, and environmental challenges faced in the world, also recommending policies. The Trusteeship Council mainly works on looking over certain trust territories, territories, which are under the international trusteeship system. The International Court of Justice is the UN's judicial organ, which settles legal disputes between countries and also gives non-binding advisory opinions. And finally, the UN Secretariat basically just works with all the other organs to administer their programs and policies, having thousands of workers stationed all over the world for duties or peacekeeping. Before I knew anything about the UN, I just thought it was one big organization like the General Assembly. Since knowing that there are different organs, it makes more sense because it would be difficult to keep order by just gathering a bunch of countries in a room with one leader. So that's very interesting and conventional. Now, we've been praising the UN a lot in this episode, and rightfully so, but for such a big organization, there will always be controversy. For example, many argue that it is ineffective in stopping conflicts, only reporting but not acting. People also think that the power lies in the hands of too few countries, referencing the countries with veto power over the Security Council. Overall, a lot of the claims focus on how the UN doesn't do enough, which I can definitely understand. There are also scandals relating to corruption within the UN, which makes sense and with such big organizations are inevitable. But if we also compare the global organization to the achievements of its predecessor, the League of Nations, the UN has done a lot. Of course, that's just my opinion, and I want you all to feel free to share your thoughts as well. And with that, we are finally at the end of another episode. This one was a fun one for me to write and record. Of course, if you're still curious and want to know something more specific about the UN, check out the official website, which has a plethora of resources and facts to explore. It's surprising how much there is to learn about the UN, but it makes sense because it's been an organization lasting over 80 years. As always, Treaties and Trials is about creating a global conversation, so be sure to follow our Instagram at Treaties and Trials with two S's at the end, and keep updated with opportunities to have a blog on our website. So with that being said, I'm Ruby, and I will see you all next time. Bye!